this Feast of the Holy Family. It's always one of those moments where I don't think you're invited to compare your family to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you know, like as like a report card. How are we doing? But rather to say, how does Jesus fully reveal man to man? The Second Vatican Council, Gaudium et Spes, says that Jesus fully reveals man to man. What does that mean? He fully reveals to us what it means to be human. And by doing so, like, our human experience is not just, what I'm going to say, the product of some random chance or biological consequence of evolution or something like that. Rather, the, you know, well, one of the things that's often talked about here is, or that I often talk about, is Jesus became an unborn baby first. He didn't come down from heaven as a 33 or a 30-year-old man. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. What does that say about the dignity of human life in the womb? Then he was a little baby. What does that say about the dignity of little babies? Then he was a toddler. Then he did all every stage, fully God and fully man through all of it. And here it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. God obeyed human beings because, why? They were his mother and father, and the Bible commands, honor your father and mother. What does that reveal to you if you are a child or a young man or young woman, like you live in your parents' house? You know, what does that reveal to you? You might say, oh, it's so difficult to obey my parents. Or if you're grown up, to honor your parents. But guess what? You know, because why is it hard when we're young to obey our parents, and sometimes when we're young or old to honor them? Because they're not perfect, and not every decision they make is absolutely, like, omniscient. But try being God and obeying human beings. How about that? Jesus, fully God, obeys human beings. If he can do that, we can obey our parents. Or honor your parents, which when you become, you know, when you reach a certain age, you're not supposed to obey your parents anymore, unless you're in their house, of course, but, like, honor them, okay? Because you need to honor God first, which might mean you go against your parents, hopefully not, but there's a lot of Bible verses about that, so it's a different thing. But what does it reveal to us that Jesus is born into a family? It's easy to let that just fly right past and not even think about it. It means that we need to be obedient to our parents or honor them, okay? What does it reveal to us about motherhood? If you're a Christian mother, look at Mary. What does she show us? Gentleness, selflessness, simplicity. It's about service. It's not about her. It's not about what she needs. This is kind of the MO of all moms. It's very selfless calling. And Mary embodies that in a gentle way, with patience and forbearance. And what does she do? She, especially above all others, not that she's the only one, but above all others, she teaches the children and really the husband too, how to love, how to be in relationship. She gives them that place of safety and security emotionally, where it's like, you're safe here. You're going to be received and loved and known here. You're going to be seen and taken care of. That is, above all, the most central thing that happens in the home. It is the most central, the most indispensable thing that happens in the home. And then both mom and dad, of course, have this responsibility of teaching their children how to be in a relationship. But, Christian fathers, look at St. Joseph. What's the responsibility there? The first one that really comes to mind, obviously, is protection, which is true. But remember that it's, first of all, remember that that's physical protection and spiritual protection. What did St. Joseph do to protect Jesus? How did he do that? He listened to God and he obeyed God. All the way to great lengths, he moved to a foreign country where they didn't speak the language. Left, they picked up and left. He obeyed God. He listened to God and he obeyed God. Okay? So why? Because there were spiritual and physical evils coming after the baby Jesus. And his role was to lead and be the head of the household. Yes, the two most important people who've ever lived, you know, Jesus and Mary are the household that he's leading. But why does God speak to Joseph in the dream? Because Joseph is the head of the household, okay? He has that role and that responsibility. And so, you know, what does that say, okay, to you fathers about hearing the Lord and obeying the Lord, okay? Then, as I mentioned again, with the parents, okay, teaching your children, this is what the catechism says, parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children in the faith, prayer, and all the virtues. They have the duty to provide as far as possible for the physical and spiritual needs of their children. Parents should respect and encourage their children's vocations. They should remember to teach that the first calling of the Christian is to follow Jesus. That respect for their vocation is kind of a way of saying, look, mom and dad, you do not, like, God's going to call them to a vocation, and you might love it, and you might not love it. You know, it might be like, oh boy, really? I don't know if I like that. Well, if it's God calling, you should be part of the testing of the vocation. Is that really God? You know, but it's his call. And ultimately, it's for them to respond. But your role in teaching them all the virtues, that's the line that stuck out to me. Okay, mom, dad, no pressure, but you're supposed to teach them all the virtues. All the virtues, okay? And this is the thing about family life. All of this holy family, you know, thinking about how do we learn the virtues? How do we learn prayer? And I guess to what I said about especially mom, but both mom and dad, teaching those children how to love and how to live in relationship with others. What is the highest of all virtues? Charity, it's love. Learning how to love well, how to receive love, how to give love, how to live in relationship. Without that, we really don't have, that's what family life is ordered around. And the context for learning that love and learning that virtue is family time, without which it's not possible. What happens during family time? Your brothers get on your nerves, your sisters get on your nerves. You have to, watch a different movie because you have little siblings and you have to watch a PG movie, or I don't know, you have to play a game that you don't want to play, or in my case, in my family, you have to play Bananagrams and my mom's going to win, every time. Whatever. So there's a level of in and through time, quality time spent together as a family. This is how we learn to be in relationship, and this is how we learn to love well. If I was going to drill down even further into that virtue, how do you teach your children the virtue of charity? How do you teach your children how to be in relationship with others? How is it that family life is where you learn how to be in relationship, and then you go out into the workplace and you're in relationship? You know, you go out into you get married to somebody and you're in relationship, okay? Here's one of the ways. This is just an example of learning charity. I think it's a really important one, though. When we were young, when somebody did something wrong, usually somebody did something wrong, somebody retaliated, and then dad gets involved or mom gets involved. So if it was generally the more mild offenses, the venial offenses, it was, Dan, what did you do? I punched my brother. I punched Mike. Usually it was Mike that I would punch. Mike, what did you do? I was poking him 3 billion times in a row, okay? He said, did he say stop? Yes. Did you stop? No. Okay. Dan, you need to apologize to your brother. Will you forgive me for punching you? That was very heartfelt, right? Will you forgive me? It wasn't always heartfelt, but they were teaching us how to apologize. And then the other person, what did they have to say? Yes, I forgive you. It wasn't and if you said, I'm sorry, that was not good enough. That was absolutely unacceptable. No, what do you say? Will you forgive me for punching you? Yes, I forgive you. Now, there might not have been total forgiveness in the moment, but what's happening? I'm having to choose with my will what is good and right. And my heart is going to follow that. And I'm going to know, first of all, if literally, if you were never taught that as a child, you might not be doing that as an adult, which doesn't mean, oh, too late. But rather, it's still time to, we can still learn from Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We can still learn from the Holy Family, even in our adult, you know, sibling relationships. Because no matter how good your family is, those are still things where we need to work on loving well and being in relationship. And there are times where if we didn't learn that, you know, what's going to happen? Well, I think there's a few things that happen. First of all, the wrong, the offense never gets confronted. And there's just this, instead of, okay, we both wronged each other, and then we asked for forgiveness, and then we forgave each other, and it's been addressed, there's been reconciliation, at least on the surface, if not deeper, and then we can go on with our, we can carry on, we can move past it. If we don't have that reconciliation, will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. If we don't have that, guess what? There's this anxiety and this tension of a discordant relationship just hanging over you the whole day. You emotionally, it's not good. It's definitely not ideal. Sometimes that's going to happen in life. It's definitely, but it's not what we're shooting for. It's not saying, you know what has to happen is I have to go to this person and maybe sometimes even to say, well, what you said really hurt my feelings. Why did you say that? Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean anything by it. Great. You know what happens if we don't teach our kids to do that at a young age or if we didn't learn how to do it? People blame social media. Really? I don't know if anyone learned how to do it when they were younger. What happens is you talk to everyone else but that person. You know what so-and-so did? You know what so-and-so said? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know, in my family, now this doesn't mean if you teach your kids this or if you learned it at a young age, you'll never gossip, okay? Wouldn't that be amazing? But you at least have some, like, warning lights going off. Oh, you know, this is kind of discordant. This is probably not, this is not like the kind of love and forgiveness that I was taught as a kid. That's just one example of one of the virtues, but I think an important one for us to say, you know, maybe you might say, I never learned how to do that when I was young. Well, you know, it's very simple. I remember there's one young man who, oh gosh, it was so funny. He literally just did not know how to propose to this woman. Like, he didn't grow up in America, had never seen enough. I think the problem was he didn't watch enough movies. You won't hear me say that very often. But he literally didn't know what are you supposed to do, because the culture he came from was arranged marriages. And so I had a friend who walked him through, like, okay, this is one way you can do it. You get down on one knee. You hold the ring up like this. You say her first, her middle, and her last name, and you ask if she will marry you. Oh, he's like, you don't have to do it exactly like that, but, like, that's the idea. Oh, okay. So do I need to do this, this? Well, you can, but you don't have to. I think literally just children and even adults, we just need to be told, this is what you need to say. So-and-so, will you forgive me for doing this or saying this? And if somebody asks your forgiveness, you need to forgive them. You know, they're making themselves pretty vulnerable. Do you apologize? Or do you just move past it and start treating them better? Because if you don't apologize, there's something discordant just hanging over the relationship. So in our families, whether it's like you're the parent with the kids, you know, or whether you're grown up and it's your siblings, the Lord wants us to, the family, to be a place where all the virtues are learned and developed, where we learn how to love well, and where we learn especially that virtue of charity, as that is the most attractive thing about our Christian witness. And even more importantly, that does sum up, and it gets to the heart of being made in, it doesn't sum up, but it gets to the heart of being made in the image of God. Right? Being made in God's image and likeness, what does that mean? We're called to communion. Well, what does communion look like? You know, that's where marriage and family life can most clearly and most powerfully show us God's love, the love for which we were made, the love in which we participate when we give and receive love with one another.